Our scripture for today. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well."
This is a simple message about gratitude and the spirit of blessedness. It's just about that gratitude. It's what it is. I'm going to teach the scripture, but I have two stories to tell you, one at the beginning and one at the end. And the one at the beginning I've told before, and I ask for your forgiveness. But every now and again, you have a God moment in your life. And that God moment is so, it makes such an impression that it changes the way you think. And this was one of those God moments for me. I was in a store in downtown Gettysburg. It's a store that doesn't exist anymore. And I made my purchases, grabbed my bags, and was on my way out the door. And a woman was coming in. Now, I did not know this woman personally, but I recognized her. I had seen her walking along Chambersburg Street and up Washington Street. An attractive middle-aged lady, I would say, slightly more than middle-aged lady, nice looking, but she had lines on her face and calluses on her hands that told me she knew hard work. She always dressed nicely, but never dressed all that well. I'm pretty sure she lived in a section of Gettysburg of row homes that could stand the landlord's paint and a little TLC. So she didn't have much, but she always had a smile on her face. And that's one thing you noticed about her. She just always was smiling. Louise and Francis, my parents, raised a gentleman, and so I quickly positioned myself that I could open the door for her. When I did, she smiled, and she thanked me. And making conversation, I said, "And how are you today?" This was the God moment. And she said to me with a grin on her face, "I'm blessed." Now, up to that point, I really don't know, and I can't say, that the words "I'm blessed" were a part of my vocabulary. It embarrasses me to admit that to you, but it's true. I always thought I was lucky. I always had an inclination that God was good and that life was pretty good. I knew that I had advantages that my mom and dad didn't have, and they worked very hard to make sure that I had them, for which I was grateful. But blessed, blessed. The Hebrew word is barak. Have you heard that one before? Barak. Sure you have. Somebody had it as a first name, right? Yeah. It means abundantly provided for. Abundantly provided for. It means a life that's worthy of appreciation and reverence to God. Bless. I'm blessed. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not the things he did." Who heals your sins? Who forgives your sins? Who heals your body? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who satisfies you with good things? Who increases your strength when you need it? Brothers and sisters, we are so blessed, abundantly blessed. I mean, that whole litany of he forgives my sins, he heals your body. He saves us from eternal ruination. He strengthens us body, soul, mind, and spirit, and resources us with his mercy and love. And until that fateful day, I'm so blessed. But until that day on Chambersburg Street, I never thought I was what Jerry Moore, our brother Jerry Moore, is often wont to say, blessed beyond what I deserve. Anytime you ask Jerry, how are you? He is blessed beyond what he deserves. Now that brings me to Luke 17, verse 11. It says, on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And when I was preparing the sermon, I thought, now stop right there. Why is he going to Jerusalem? Well, he was going to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. He was going to Jerusalem to celebrate the last Passover. He was going to Jerusalem to spend time with his disciples. He was going to Jerusalem to die on the cross, to give his life in exchange for mine, and to take the punishment that you deserve because of our negligence of God, and credit us with righteousness. Romans 3:23 says, for we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. 24 says, yet by his grace, God makes us right in his sight through Jesus, who paid the penalty for our sins. By his grace, God makes it right. Through Jesus, who paid the penalty for our sins. So he's on his way to do that. And he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers, not two lepers, 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voice to saying, have mercy on us. The Greek word is eleison. If you were ever in a choir, you probably have sung Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy. We translate that, have mercy, have pity. But the literal translation is help the wretched. Bring help for the wretched. Because leprosy was a wretched disease. Nobody deserved it. Nobody deserved a lot of things they get. But everybody that had it prayed with all their might they'd be delivered from it. Because leprosy was the next thing to a death sentence. If you developed a rash and the priest said you had leprosy, you were immediately labeled a contagion, cast out of the community. You tore your clothes and you wore torn clothes. Why? It was the garb of sinners. Because it was believed that if you contracted leprosy, you had fallen out of the grace and mercy of God, that you had done something that you deserved it. And out of the community, you lived in colonies of sinners, or you lived by yourself. You lived in leper colonies. And if you got within a stone's throw of other people, you had to shout the pitifulness of your condition by saying, I'm unclean, which explains why Jesus, between Samaria and Galilee, having come across 10 lepers, they shouted to him from a distance. And what they said is, we're unclean, bring help to the wretched. Bring help to the wretched. Now it says, when Jesus saw them, actually he didn't see them. For one reason, they were at a distance. For a second reason, if you had leprosy, you had to wear a veil over your face, kind of like when you go to the hospital, sometimes you have to wear a mask, depending on the condition of the people you're visiting. It means that in his mind, he knew the score. In his mind, he saw them, what their situation was. When Jesus heard them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest, because the priest was the only one who could declare them clean and restore them back to the community. And Luke says, as they went to see a priest, they hadn't even gotten to the priest, they were purified of all filth. They were spiritually healed. They were physically healed. They were mentally healed. The scripture teaches us that anyone who is in Jesus Christ is a brand new creation. All 10 of them were completely made over. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and he gave honor and glory to God. One of them. And he fell on his face in reverence and worship of Jesus and returned gratitude to him, which at that point was unusual because God was who you thanked, and he thanked the Lord Jesus. One leper wrote a thank you note. One leper came back and expressed his gratitude. And that leper was a Samaritan. And that's important because he had a hard life even before he got leprosy. He was subject to racial slurs and epithets for I don't know how long. He was slammed for his character. He was slammed for his faith. He was pretty much regarded in the Jewish community. A Samaritan was regarded as pond scum, second-class citizens. He's the one that came back, even though 10 of them were healed. In her devotional, what is it called? Embracing Joy, the author Sarah Young says that entitlement and gratitude are polar opposites. When you're entitled, you feel like you should have gotten more than you deserved, more than you got. Whereas if you have gratitude, you realize that what you got isn't what you deserved. And you know, you got more than you deserved. I'll say it again. If you're entitled, you feel that I deserve better than what I received. And if you have gratitude, you know you don't deserve what you received. I've often wondered why 9 didn't come back. Luke doesn't tell us, and I don't have a clue, and I'm not going to pretend I do, but I can tell you this. I've always suspected they felt entitled. In that, as part of the Jewish community of faith, they felt they were not worthy of that sentence of leprosy, and when Jesus healed them, they felt they deserved it, whereas the Samaritan knew he didn't deserve it and was overcome with gratitude. I took a drink of water upstairs and strangled myself. That's never happened. I darn near did it again. When our daughter, Carly, was in second grade, that September, she befriended a little girl in her class. The little girl's name was Maribel. She came home, talked about Maribel this and Maribel that. Kathy and I didn't know Maribel or her family, but we found out Maribel just lived up the street from us in a single wide with her mom and dad and with 4 brothers and sisters. So there were 7 in the single wide because her mom and dad were seasonal farm workers. And Carly and Maribel developed this friendship, and Carly wanted Maribel to come over to our house to play. Her family was very private, and for reasons I did not understand back then, but I do understand now, they really were reluctant to have their child come into the home of a white person. So we had to work at that. We were living, and I didn't say this, in the church parsonage, which without question was the nicest, was the biggest home God has ever blessed us with, without a doubt. We were living in the church parsonage. And on an evening in October, and I really feel if I could go back in time and look at the calendar, it's right about now. This is the anniversary. Her mom felt it was okay for Maribel to come over and play for 1 hour. So she did. And she walked into our house. Instead of playing, she wandered through the rooms and the halls like it was show and tell time. I mean, she was absolutely speechless. And I bet it was 15 minutes and she didn't say a word. And finally she said, "This house." And I said, "What about the house, Maribel?" And she said, "So many rooms. I've never seen a house with this many rooms." I guess not. She was living in a single wide with 7 people. Two weeks later, on a black November night, it was pouring down rain for all it was worth. And I was on my way to a meeting, and I drove by Maribel's house. Her dad was out more or less on the street. He was putting the last of their earthly possessions in a little trailer that the pickup truck pulled. And it was pouring down rain, and he was putting a tarp over it. And I went to my meeting. I was gone an hour, and I came back, and the pickup truck and the trailer were gone, and the house was empty. Why? Because they were moving on to where the fruit is. And I cried. I cried because I am so blessed in so many ways, blessed in ways I never really noticed or thought about. I'm not talking about the big house. That was a borrowed house. We lived in it for about 8 years. It was lovely. I'm not talking about the stuff. It's just stuff. But I had an education. I had a mom and dad who loved me. I had a wife who loved me. I had a career. I had a salary. I had a roof over my head. I didn't have to worry about planning my life around the seasons and around the fruit and whether the fruit was any good and whether I'd get hired on or not. I had so many life experiences, just like you guys, coming here and making me a better person. And you know, I don't think until that point I really thanked God consciously nearly enough for the ways he invested in me, just like I really haven't thanked you nearly enough for the ways you've invested in me. The Bible says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures. The Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your heart and be thankful. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ. And finally, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, talk to God, make your requests known. Are you blessed? What did you receive this year that you didn't deserve? And when have you experienced help for the wretched? I'll tell you the truth. You and I are very blessed. And I think, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm really not. But before you climb into bed tonight and you say your prayers, I think a little thanksgiving to God is in order. It doesn't need to be big. It doesn't need to be fancy. It doesn't need to be cover all your bases. A simple thank you will please him and will do. Wouldn't you agree? Jesus, thank you for this message. And really, honestly, it's just a reminder to me where I've been and where you've been, and that everything that I have, all good and faithful gifts, have come from your hand. And I'm not saying, and I wouldn't want anybody to hear me saying, there but for your grace go I. That is not how Maribel affected me. I often think of that little girl and I pray that it is well with her. All I'm saying is, we owe you a debt. I owe you a debt of thanks and of blessing for our church family, for our individual experiences. Some of life has been terrible stuff, and we sure didn't feel blessed. But 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road, when you've grown us through it, we have come out. And you were faithful. For the whole building that we're in and the ministry that we have, the praise band behind us, I mean, there are so many things that I take for granted and go home and I fret about what I didn't do. And instead of all this blessing that you give, and say, well, yeah, but there were people that gave a lot of money for that, and there were people that sacrificed a lot for that, and there were people that built and sweat effort. And yeah, I know, but everything comes from you. Everything comes from you. And we're about to move into the offering, and this is the time for us to give back. If for nothing else, for some of these service opportunities we're talking about, and I pray that it'll be used for that. If one person walks out of here today with a better sense of gratitude and perspective, everything you have said and given and done is worth it. I pray in your precious name. Amen.